Scott and Troy from Who Cares About Man's Health. We are taking a little bit of a break, but in the meantime, playing some of our most popular episodes and some of our favorite episodes. And as far as popular goes, this is one of our more popular ones.
It's amazing, Scott, how timely this became with Kevin Curtis and his friend Ben. Talked about the three tools for your mental health toolbox. Talked about BLAST, box breathing, the reach out. You know, we recorded this just as the pandemic was starting to hit. And it's amazing how often my mind has gone back to this episode in particular and a lot of the techniques they talked about for dealing with stress.
And this was one of producer Mitch's top three episodes of the season as well. A lot of great tools in here. The three tools for your mental health toolbox. We'll be back with new episodes coming up soon. But in the meantime, enjoy Kevin Curtis and his friend Ben. The podcast is called Who Cares About Men's Health? Just a couple of guys trying to build a movement, a community of men who care about their health. Now, Troy's contention always has been men care deeply about their health. Maybe we just don't talk about it as much as we should.
Yes.
And that's why we're here.
Right.
My name's Scott Singpiel. I am the manager of thescoperadio.com, and I care about men's health.
And I'm Dr. Troy Madsen. I'm an emergency physician at the University of Utah, and I care about men's health.
I'm Kevin Curtis. I'm a licensed clinical social worker and the director of crisis services at the Neuropsychiatric Institute. And I care about men's health.
And I'm Ben. And I just work at the university in a non-medical, non-therapy capacity. And I care about men's health.
Good to have you on the show, Ben.
Yes. Thanks, Ben.
We're going to talk about...
And Kevin.
Yeah, Ben and Kevin. Sorry. Didn't mean to do that. We talk about the core four on the show, which is things you can do now and later to really make sure that you've got good health. And that's take care of your physical, take care of your activity, your nutrition, your sleep, and your mental health. And that's what we're going to talk about today is the mental health component. Ben has had a lot of success. Would you say you've had a lot of success with working with licensed clinical social workers to work through some issues in your life?
I am not the paragon of mental health.
Okay.
None of us are.
Yeah, right.
But I am better than I was 10 years ago.
Well, nice. That's good.
That's great.
Today, we wanted to talk to Ben, who has gone to his EAP program. What does that stand for, Kevin?
Employee Assistance Program.
Which is most people that work will have access to a program of this one way or another, that if you have something going on in your life and you need to talk to a professional, generally a licensed clinical social worker, you can do that. Ben has utilized these services. And we wanted to find out what are some of the tools that he's gained out of these meetings that he uses on a regular basis to help keep himself mentally healthy. Just like you go to the gym, maybe, or you go running like Troy to stay physically healthy. These are things you can do to stay. They're like dumbbells for your brain, for your mental health.
And I'll tell you, Scott, I'm going to make this personal. My brain is needing some dumbbells right now.
That's it. All right.
It needs some major dumbbells. I've experienced a lot of work stress lately. And I've noticed some issues just in the last week or so. I just find that maybe I don't want to go out and hang out with people as much. I'm not sleeping as well. I'm stressed about work. And I'm not making this up. This is the reality of what I'm facing. And so we've talked a little bit about these tools in this toolkit. I really want to know, what are these tools? What are these dumbbells I can use for my brain? Because I feel like I need some help.
Kevin, the symptoms that Troy is experiencing, common, and can you add to those?
Yeah. So those are very common. I think a lot of people worry if they start talking about their symptoms, they're going to get a diagnosis, right? So I'm not ready to provide a diagnosis for Troy.
Okay.
Just yet.
Yeah.
But no, those are very common, signs of stress, of overwork, of the possibility that it could be good to do some things to take care of yourself. They're good warning signs.
Yeah,
the body's great about giving you warning signs.
I mean,
whether we're good at reading them is a different thing.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm obviously a physician. I work in healthcare. I talk to people all the time, and I look at myself, and I've even said to people, I feel mildly depressed. I mean, I have, and it's just, I think it's been stress related. There's been a lot going on at work lately. And again, for me, I am very interested in maybe others experiencing this as well, for whatever reason at work, whatever is creating stress for people. The question I have is, what are the tools that we can use to try and have that sort of mental exercise and mental workup to help work through some of these things?
And I think it's important to say something Kevin said before. I think it was episode 7, what is mental health anyway? It's not this end game of, you get so bad that it's a crisis situation. It's the state and the thoughts of our emotions and making sure we're taking care of those and having useful thoughts to do the things we want to do. That's what some of these exercises might help us do. So, Ben, what do you got for us? We're putting you on hot seat.
Okay, fine. Yeah. So I went in and saw an EAP, licensed clinical social worker, I was experiencing panic attacks about a situation that was outside of my control. And so I went and met with him. And in the very first meeting, he explained to me that we were both men. And I think he brought this up because this is a manly thing. He said, have you ever seen the videos of Navy SEAL training, right? Where it's the Navy SEALs, they're like lifting up logs and they're sitting in the ice cold water. And every once in a while, somebody goes up and rings the bell because they can't take it anymore and they're out of the selection. And he said, you know, the people that make it through selection are not any stronger physically. They don't have any different physical capacity than the ones that opt out. Eventually, they're just the ones that have learned how to manage the mental situation better. They realize that most of the candidates that got through selection and went on to become Navy SEALs had either learned or discovered the technique of box breathing. Box breathing is the situation where you breathe in for a count of four, and then you hold your breath for a count of four. You breathe out for another count of four, and then you hold for another count of four. So it's like a box. The side going up is breathe in for a count of four, going across is holding for a count of four, breathing out is going down for a count of four, and going back across. And so that you kind of picture a box. He said when you are in a highly agitated or highly engaged state, you can box breathe and it will hide, where a lot of times in a panic attack, he explained it this way, in the panic attack, your physical systems are following a mental process. And when you box breathe, it flips it and you start having a physical process, which then your mental state follows the physical process.
Kevin, is that essentially fight or flight and you're trying to control that?
I think to some extent, yes, it's fight or flight, but I think the broader concept that people often misunderstand is they separate out their emotions from their what's happening with them physically, when the reality is our emotions are the physical reaction that we're feeling. So if you think about when you're angry, what does that physically feel like, right? That involves changes to your heart rate. It involves changes to your body temperature. It involves all of these different physical sensations that are happening. When you're anxious, the stereotype is you can't get enough air. You've got to breathe into a bag, that sort of thing. The emotions are built around the physical things that are happening with your body. And so, I remember prior to doing my therapy training and deciding that I wanted to work in this field, the first time that I was introduced to the concept of breathing as a tool for managing emotion. And I thought it was just stupid kind of foo-foo nonsense, right? But really what those breathing exercises are doing is they're changing the physical responses that are happening. And that impacts the way that you feel emotionally.
Well, I'll tell you, I've been box breathing just while you've been talking. And I actually do feel a little bit calmer. And I think part of it is, you know, there's the mindfulness piece of it as well, where it brings you more into the moment and you are focused on your breathing and that counting, and then just slowing that respiratory rate down. You're going down to, you know, maybe 6-7 breaths a minute at that rate, which is pretty slow. But it's not like I'm feeling short of breath doing this. Just brief exercise here, I'm feeling a little better already.
Yeah, there's a related technique called tactical breathing.
Ooh, that sounds good.
It's more hardcore.
Yeah, that sounds very manly.
I picture a lot of men getting right on board with tactical breathing.
Please explain.
Yeah. Guys, do your tactical breathing. It's very manly.
That's why I responded so well to it. Yes. The tactical breathing is similar to box breathing, except for you take out the hold for 4 seconds. So you breathe in for 4 seconds, for a count of four, and breathe out for a count of four. That's if you're physically engaged and you can't not breathe for that. Which I think why it's called tactical breathing. If you're engaged tactically with somebody, then you still get some of these benefits, you know, clearing your mind and getting centered and focusing. Anyways, he explained this technique to me. I went home, I started using it, just practicing it. And then it was within the next day or two, I started to feel some anxiety or some panic starting to ramp up. Went into the box breathing, and it is a combination of, it's the physical, you're taking care of yourself physically, you're bringing everything into just where you're only focused on your breathing. And then it helped me to become a little bit more circumspect and think about, just take an inventory of like, okay, what's happening? What am I thinking? What is creating these feelings of anxiety while I'm box breathing? And it's just a little mindfulness, I suppose, is what that is. And just, and it really helped. In fact, it's something that I use now that my wife and I have children, use that with my kids. Like, okay, let's box breathe. And the younger ones, I hold up four fingers and pretend they're candles, and you have to blow out these candles when you do it. So that's it seems to be a technique that's worked really well for me.
Love box breathing. Do you have some other tools that you received that you'd like to share?
I don't know if this is a technique or a tool so much as it is just a mental exercise, and it's an acronym, which we all love, and the acronym is BLAST.
It's so good. Tactical breathing, blast.
Pow.
Contact left.
We got destroy.
All right. So BLAST is the acronym, and this is maybe something to use if you feel you're very, you know, things are getting maybe a little bit overwhelmed. One of the therapists that I've seen over the years has said, like, you know, you will make your poorest decisions when the BLAST conditions are operational, one or more of the BLAST conditions. And the BLAST conditions are: B is for bored, L is for lonely, A, angry, S is stressed, and T, tired. And he added an H on the end of that for hungry. So BLAST H.
I'm glad that they added hungry.
Or blashed. Blashed. But he said if you've made a decision or you're doing something and you're not acting in your best mind, or you're not being your best self, take an inventory and which of these conditions were present? Bored, lonely, angry, stressed, tired, or hungry.
So all of them don't need to be present, just one of them.
One of them.
Okay.
Or more of them, you know. And so you can see it really easily in maybe your partner or your children is like, oh, they're tired, or oh, they're hungry, or, you know, they were bored, which is why they got the paint out and painted their whole naked bodies and painted their floor and their bed and everything.
Wow, that's very specific.
Yeah, that happened 4 weeks ago.
Oh, wow.
Then it was time for box breathing.
Box breathing while you clean up.
But so we're really good at identifying it in other people. It's much more difficult to identify it in ourselves, I think. And so just that, and I think for me, the technique, I guess, is maybe staying out of those domains, right? Like, if I feel like, oh, I'm bored, I should probably do something so that I'm not, so that I don't, or I'm lonely, time to reach out, or I'm angry. Okay, what's going on that I'm so upset about? Stressed, tired, what can we do? And so BLAST, it's a cool word, it's a cool acronym, but I think it's also like almost a checklist of, okay, what's happening? Let's run this down. Where am I at?
Yeah. And maybe it's a good thing too, where you can look like, hey, I'm kind of making a big decision here, whatever it might be, or I'm on the verge of doing something. I'm ready to send in my resignation letter at work.
Sure.
Wait a second. Am I angry? Am I tired? Should I think about this? I can tell you the emails I have most regretted sending over my life, I have sent after night shifts. And as a result of that, I do not look at my email after a night shift because I recognize I do things I should not do when I'm really tired. And I mean, this is great just for some introspection and then saying, hey, is this the time I should be making this decision or doing this?
It sounds like it works both ways, Kevin. It sounds like it could be an indicator, or it sounds like it could be a reason for reflection.
Yeah, no, I think that that's absolutely right. It works both ways. For me, the way that I apply those things is I try to set my life up around how do I avoid those states, right? And so it's all about kind of creating sleep schedules, recognizing if I don't get a little bit of exercise in the morning, I'm not going to be able to do what I need to do. Have I planned out so that I have opportunities to eat regularly? Am I filling my time with meaningful things to do? So not only is it a toolbox, but it's also a roadmap that you can use to kind of set up your life that really gets at all of those four core things that you started the episode with, right?
That's fantastic. So do you have one more tool, Ben, before we wrap up? You've given us some great stuff already. Box/tactical breathing, BLAST, this last one.
The last one. Okay. So I this was in the last 2 years. I was involved in an altercation at the gym with an older gentleman, and I flipped my lid and I felt really bad about.
I want the full story.
I know. Was it over a squat rack or?
I love that so, you referred to him as an older gentleman.
Was he on
what
his
did
phone?
You refer to him
Look,
at the time?
I'm not going to say much. I am going to say after this happened, they had to close the gym.
Wow.
Wow. What?
This is a big deal.
It was not related to that. It was just, oh.
It just went out of business.
You just like tearing
no,
up stuff.
No, what it was is he observed an interaction I had with another person, which was a misunderstanding initially, and then he misunderstood the misunderstanding.
Oh,
so
boy.
It was we had a convexity thing happening. And so he engaged with me about it, and I chose to, I was tired because it was super early in the morning. So I was firmly in the blast. I hadn't eaten, so I was hungry, and I got angry. I had a 3 out of 5. It was great. I was very disappointed in myself and how I had reacted to that. And that actually put me in a bit of a down cycle. And so I went and met with a EAP person, and I said, there's a theme here, everybody. Like, you can reach out when things are feel like they're getting away from you. And this therapist, who also maybe was not a match for me personally, and that's okay too. Like, you don't have, you can shop around, you can try different therapists. But she did say something that was really helpful. She said, I want you to create a network of support, which was something that I had not really considered, is like you have like a therapist client relationship, but like you can also create your own mental health scaffolding with people around you that you trust. And she said, I want you to pick two people and reach out to them this week and tell them what's going on and that you don't need them to do anything, but just to know. And I think that's an important piece too, is like, you don't want to maybe meet with somebody, invite a friend to lunch and say, I'm really struggling and I got this going on. I just don't know if it's all worth it. Like, your friend is your friend. Your friend is like not maybe prepared to give you any kind of solution. But if you frame it with, hey, I'm just telling you this, this is where I'm at. You don't need to do anything about this. I just need to let you know. That was a new concept to me. And so that week I went out to lunch with my dad. I went out to lunch with a friend and I said exactly that. I said, I asked you to lunch because I want to tell you what's going on with me. And I just need you to know, I don't need you to do anything for me.
What was your lead in sentence for that? Like, I need you to know this.
That was my lead in sentence.
And I was at the gym today, and then you just kind of kicked into the story.
I didn't get even into the details. I just said, hey, here's how I'm feeling about myself and here's how I'm feeling about life right now. And it wasn't even about, like, I was disappointed that I got in this altercation with this person. I said, I just feel low right now. And I just want you to know, and like, you're important to me, and that's it. And that was, I mean, Kevin, you were the other person that I reached out to. And and it was interesting because my dad said, oh, thank you for telling me about this. He said, you know, I had a similar experience with, and he talked about some situation in the family from a couple of years back that I was familiar with. And he shared with me what it was like for him. And it wasn't like we even gave each other any kind of therapeutic response, you know, advice or anything. It was just sharing that experience and feeling like my dad and my friend saw me and saw what I was going through, and sharing that, which was very, it was very powerful. And it seems like you just told them that you're having a hard time and that was it. And like, yes, that was it. And they knew, and I knew that they knew. And it was just, I essentially made an invitation to become part of my network for my mental health. And they said, yeah, you let me know anytime when I can help you. And that was, it sounds weird, but that was all it was. But it was just a reach out and say, I'm struggling. And that's it. And then our tuna melts came out and we ate them and it was great.
And didn't pepper in like the good news that was going on at the time? Or, because I would feel this, you need to do that then.
Oh, well, it was really just like a couple of minutes of just being real. I'm having a hard time with this. This is hard. I'm not sure, you know, this, that, and the other. And then it wasn't like the whole meal was a downer. And then you know, it's like my dad and my friend, one of my best friends.
They didn't look at you differently after that.
No, they're just like, I really appreciate. Yeah.
No, what I would say as being a recipient to that was that it was a transformative act for our friendship in terms of, I was relatively new to the area. Ben was one of the few people that I knew, and the radical act of kind of being vulnerable in a very real and human way whatever benefit it had for him, it was very beneficial to me in terms of feeling that connection. And I think that that's one of the big things that is missing for a lot of men that drives their unhappiness in life. They may have a lot of acquaintances, but they don't have a lot of connections. And so even just that moment of being real with each other, we were able to go back to kind of the superficial parts of our conversation and relationship, but having that knowledge that, oh, this is a friend, this is somebody that I can count on, this is somebody that trusts me and that I trust, that's a really valuable thing to have in life.
And I think it's important too that you didn't feel like you needed to solve the problem, and Ben, you didn't present it like, hey, I need answers. No. It's like, hey, I just want you to know what's going on. And mm-hmm. and that's, I think, very valuable too.
It was useful. And this may be because I'm a therapist, but I suspect that it's more related to me being male. It was useful that Ben was very clear. I'm not coming to you because you're a therapist. I'm not coming to you because I need a solution. I'm coming just to be real with you about where I'm at. And so that helped me not go into therapist mode, and it helped me not go into I'm a man, I will fix it mode, which is a natural reaction for a lot of us.
What's this technique called?
Let's call it the reach out.
Yeah.
And why does this work, Kevin?
It comes back to that vulnerability piece, right? So much of what we're dealing with when we are feeling low is a feeling of isolation, a feeling of disconnectedness. And there's this implicit thing that happens where we convince ourselves we're the only person that is feeling like this or has ever felt like that. And somehow that reflects on our character or our fitness or whatever. For men, to feel depressed is to be weak culturally. And that's just not, it doesn't match with the reality that we all feel these things. And so the reach out, I like that word. I may use that.
Can I call it the power grip? I don't know. I'm
keeping
going with blast.
Yeah, keeping with the theme of
breathing.
Blast.
I'm calling the power grip.
Yeah, the power grip.
Give me two people.
Yes. Yes, I like that.
Well, I will say that experience where just reaching out to somebody just in a non-therapy scenario actually helped me become more comfortable with sharing with people. Like the people that I work with, like my supervisor or my direct reports, I was able to be more real with them and say, hey, I just want you to know I'm having a little bit of a tough day today and this is why, and that's all. And it actually being more real in work, like I was with Kevin or with my dad, practicing that. And I guess it's, if you want to talk about vulnerability, like that's a powerful thing is to just I think that helps in this, the safety of your relationships at work. If you can be real, it gives people permission to also be real. And I think that has a great benefit when you're working with people.
So I think these are great techniques. I mean, I'm personally, I don't want to seem like I'm patronizing or something. I really have taken a lot from this. Like I said, I'm not making this up. I have felt very stressed with work lately. I've noticed an effect on my personal life. I think box breathing is a great technique. I like this idea of recognizing where you are in terms of blast and saying, hey, I need to change these things, or I don't want to make big decisions while I'm in this state, and then reach out / power grip. I like that as well. Just being able to talk to someone and not looking for answers, just putting it out there.
I think in some way I'm practicing this because I have a couple of just standing recurring monthly lunches I have with a couple of guy friends. So they're separate, right? But every month we get together, we have lunch, and we talk about a whole gamut of topics. And a lot of it is superficial, having fun. But every once in a while, you know, we'll have 2-3 minutes of just kind of a serious thing, and then we just kind of move on. So am I exercising the power grip?
Yeah, you're doing the power grip without even knowing it.
Yes, I love it.
Love it.
Ben, thank you so much for sharing those tools that have worked for you. And I think that through your stories, you're going to help a lot of other guys.
Sure.
As well. Thank you for caring about men's health.
I do.
Great having you on the show. All right, time for odds and ends on Who Cares About Men's Health. First of all, I just want to check in with both of you guys, see how you're holding up. Troy, of course, works in an emergency department at University of Utah Health. Mitch, you don't. Neither do I. So, I mean, things aren't probably quite as hectic for us as they are for you. But how's everyone holding up? Troy, how you doing?
Hanging in there. You know, it's been interesting. Obviously, a crazy few weeks for everybody. Certainly an adjustment in the emergency department. We are seeing a lot of sick people. We're seeing very serious cases. There's no doubt about that. You know, personally, I think it's been challenging. There's a lot of fear among healthcare workers, and then you're seeing reports about people getting sick, and including emergency physicians. So I think there's a certain level of anxiety that I really sense at work among my coworkers and myself as well. But I think all things considered, we're very fortunate to work where we do. We've got a great staff, and very dedicated professionals, and an administration who's really, I think, tried to lead the way and be prepared for this and make sure we're ready for it. So that's all been the positives about it.
Yeah, I want to drop this in there quickly because there's a way of framing this that's been really effective for me, because it can start getting harder for us to, you know, maintain the hand washing and maintain the social distancing and that sort of thing. But, you know, the better we do those things as citizens will not only help out people like you that are on the front lines, but it will help get us back to normal more quickly. The other thing that it's easy to start to do at this point too, and I'm guilty of this, and I have to really remind myself that, you know, I think most of us get that social distancing is large groups, right? Try to avoid large groups. But then, you know, I have some regularly scheduled lunches with some friends of mine, and I was like, well, you know, maybe we could go get takeout food and meet. But then I'm thinking, like, where would that be? And I'm thinking, well, you know, maybe we could just eat in the car, but then you're not the 6 feet apart. Well, what's the harm in just this one time? But it could be just that one time that gives it to you, and then you give it to a couple more people and gives it to a couple more people. So it's just so important, I think, to remember it's not necessarily the size of the group. You should just act as a person like you have it and you're asymptomatic and you don't want to give it to somebody else. So I'm really trying to double down on that thought as well. Mitch, how are you doing?
It's been an adjustment working so close to a partner in the same house. but I mean, that if of all the things I could be dealing with, that's a very minimal one. And I just really appreciate what Troy's been doing up there. Just do quick little thank you.
Thank you, Mitch. I appreciate it. Yeah. No, I think we're all in hard situations. There's no doubt. And, you know, the reality is in the ER, we're seeing lots of people there with psychiatric emergencies, a lot of anxiety, you know, things like that. So I think it's getting to people. So I think whether you're working in healthcare or you're working from home and trying to adjust, it's a challenge for everyone. There's no doubt about that.
And if you need help, reach out. You know, of course, there are other things that you need to worry about other than COVID-19. So if you are struggling, be sure to reach out, make that phone call. Whether it's to a professional or you're just Zooming a group of friends just to try to keep sanity together and, you know, have a couple of laughs. Mitch, how is the training for the Who Cares About Mitch's Health 5K going? Now, you know, we had planned on having this be a big, huge event and in 9 weeks, but, you know, it might end up being a virtual event. I guess that's how your training's kind of going. Tell us about that.
Well, it's been actually really kind of fun because, number one, it's keeping me active. It's keeping me getting out of the house every single day, which is great. And I think everyone really needs that right now. And if you're listening and you haven't been getting outside, if you haven't been going out for a hike, going for a run, it's still totally safe to do. You just need to keep your social distance. And what I've been finding is there's so many people out there that are recognizing that. They'll cross the street. You know, people are holding on to that distancing. But the thing that's been really cool is I've been posting these little videos both on my own page and on the Who Cares page as I'm training, and people are responding. We have a bunch of listeners who have reached out to me, and they're going to be running too. And we might start doing these virtual runs. We're going to start our first one hopefully this week, where everyone goes and runs in separate places and takes photos of what they see, something interesting. And we all kind of share because we can't run together, but we'll all share those photos together.
That's great. So just go to Who Cares Men's Health on Facebook. Is that where this is going to be going down, where people can get information?
What we're asking people to do is we recognize that not everyone's on our page. If you just want to do a hashtag Who Cares Men's Health or a hashtag WCAMH, again, hashtag WCAMH, a little acronym for Who Cares, and it'll show up. It'll show up in all the feeds and we'll collect them and put them on our page.
You know, it's funny, the thing about running, you know, I think the trick, because I know you haven't been a huge fan of it, but I think the trick is to make it the good alternative to what you could be doing. You know, and when things start going crazy in your house, all of a sudden running doesn't seem like such a huge hassle. It seems like a great escape.
Absolutely. It is. It's the greatest escape right now.
It's the greatest escape. It really is. Yep.
All right. Stay healthy, guys.
Yeah, you too.
All right, time for Just Gonna Leave This Here. That's where we might talk about health, or it might just be some random thought that's going through our mind. I found this article that I wanted to share briefly that is entitled Accepting Favors Makes You More Likeable. And this was from a health blog. And this really hit home for me because I tend not to accept favors. I grew up on a ranch. I was an only child. I tended to get things done on my own. And I also kind of just don't like being in debt to anybody. I feel like if I accept a favor, then I have to repay a favor, which, you know, isn't necessarily a terrible thing because I do like to be helpful. But I don't know. There's just something weird about that balance. You know, I like to keep things in balance. But according to this article, if somebody offers to do something for you, offers to do you a favor, actually, it doesn't necessarily put you in their debt. They like you more if you accept it. So I'm going to try to be more accepting when people offer favors as opposed to my stock answer of, no, that's fine. I got it. Don't worry about it.
That's great to hear. Because I'm the same way. I'm the same way. I'm like, I'll figure it out. I got this, you know, and you're right. Then you do feel like you're in debt and like you have to return the favor. But maybe you've already done them a favor by accepting the favor. I like that mindset. Well, Scott, I'm just going to leave this here. Now, I'm going to do you a favor, and I'm going to get you something it's is super nerdy, but it's something I really like, and it's meant a lot more to me, since there's not a whole lot more to do. I'm going to get you a bird feeder. Do you have a bird feeder?
We had bird feeders at the old house, but we somehow don't have those anymore. Yeah.
Wow. See, it looks like I need to get you a bird feeder. I've appreciated more and more the value of a bird feeder. We have one just outside our window. I keep it well stocked with bird seed. And especially now when there's not a whole lot more to do, it's cool just to see the different birds. You know, it's getting into more migratory bird season. You get to see some more interesting birds. It's a form of entertainment when there are not a lot of other forms of entertainment. So I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to get you a bird feeder.
Yeah, we need to get sports back on ESPN.
We need sports. I'm now watching my bird feeder.
No, I love it. It gives you a little connection of with nature. And, you know, I found that, you know, I talked to my wife about it too. I'd be like, oh, hey, guess what I saw at the bird feeder today? You know,
so, exactly.
Yeah, if you want to give me a bird feeder, I will accept that favor.
Yeah, then we can swap notes on the types of birds we're seeing. You know, it's really a conversation piece.
That sounds fun. All right, time to say the things that you say at the end of podcasts, because we are at the end of ours. Thank you for listening. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcast, so this gets delivered to you every single week. We definitely appreciate that. And if you want to reach out and say hi, Troy's going to tell you how.
Yeah, you can reach out to us through Facebook, facebook.com/WhoCaresMen'sHealth. You can contact us, hello@thescoperadio.com. Our website is WhoCaresMen'sHealth.com. And thanks for listening, and thanks for caring about men's health.